Great idea. I want to talk a little bit about authority this morning and what authority is and what actually has authority over us, and perhaps a little bit understanding what authority we should be under. Does anybody have a bit of a problem with authority? I certainly did for big chunks of my life. And I think through my school days I battled with that, and like many young boys in school, I pushed hard against that authority, and in the most part it didn't make my life easier. But perhaps the harder it got, the more I pushed against it. Have I got any friends here? Anyone been like that? And then various other seasons of my life, I battled with that. When I got my license, I felt that I should be able to drive at the speeds that I would like to. And again, I had an ongoing problem with authority. And sometimes I used to just think the whole world was against me. It just seemed like police were just waiting around the corner for me and nobody else. And there was this battle in my life that I've had. And, you know, at times I've still got to address that. This battle I've had with authority. And oftentimes people can say, oh, you know, just suck it up or whatever. But I think that might be true in moments. But I think we've got to understand, you know, what authority we're under and what authority we're not under. And I think, first of all, knowing the authority that we're under actually gives us a great empowerment for dealing with those things that should not have authority over us. So first and foremost, I understand that I'm actually under the authority of my God. And when it's under authority, it's not like this containing thing. It's actually a very releasing thing. Because when Jesus said to his disciples, and when he was speaking right before he went to heaven, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth I give to you." In other words, you're under my authority, but I delegate that authority and I want you to walk in that. That means that you actually, while ever you remain under that umbrella of my authority, you have actually got authority to deal with all sorts of things. The problem with perhaps the teenage boy mentality is that we want lots of authority, but we tend to walk outside of that umbrella of delegated authority. So, for example, when I was at high school, I was always wanting to push outside those bounds of authority. And there was all sorts of things that I could have done and could have operated well within that. But as a boy who was working that stuff out, I wanted to push outside of that authority. And I would find myself time and time again outside of that. I'd find myself isolated in that place. Has anybody been there? And I might talk a little bit more in coming weeks about where authority comes from, but this morning I really want to focus on things that we perhaps give authority to in our lives that we don't need to. And we've been looking at Nehemiah, especially in this season of transition, this season of new buildings here for our Hobart campus. And Nehemiah was in a privileged position. And so many of us are in privileged positions. And just, you know, the fact that you live in this part of the world, the fact that you have been born perhaps at the most prosperous time of humanity means, and you're lucky or blessed enough to have been born in the part of the world that you find yourself now, or that's what you're enjoying. We are incredibly blessed and we are in a very, very privileged position. And so Nehemiah, out of this place of privilege, he speaks to the king of Babylon, and the king of Babylon gives him authority to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he says this, so I arrived in Jerusalem. 3 days later, I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. I'd not told anyone about the plans that God had put on my heart or for Jerusalem. So he rides around Jerusalem, and if you read a little bit more, you find that the walls are so broken down, there's such a mess that the donkey that he's riding can't even get up over the rubble. So he takes a different track and skirts around it to find it. And he does this season of due diligence, if you like, that's the term we use in today's world, that he does this season of due diligence on the walls of Jerusalem. He actually has a real good look at them. He understands how bad they are. He understands what it's going to require. He understands where he's going to have to put his efforts in to start with. And he starts to formulate this plan. He doesn't tell everybody about it because he wants a clear head. He wants to understand what God's saying. He wants to speak to people who have actually got some knowledge on the thing. And he has this time of due diligence. And that's what we've been doing at the moment with a building in Moona that we're looking at. And it's been a pretty busy week in that area. It's been an exciting week, and we have been in a season of due diligence, and some of that continues, but we've actually gained a lot of information. And what I can let you know this morning, and is just because of contractual obligations and things, there's figures and things that I won't exactly say, but what I will tell you is that we are going to put an offer in on probably two parts of the Coogan's building in Moona, and that's very, very exciting. And we've, you know, all the way through this journey, it's been something that's needed really the hand of God on for it to work. And we've been having a green more light mentality with that, and as we've sort of pushed through all sorts of different things, where we're still there, and God seems to be on it, and he's honouring what we're doing to this point. We've got a great board, we've got a great building acquisition team, the BAT team, and we've done a whole lot of work, and we're at a position now where we feel actually confident and we feel good about an offer that's going in this week. So there's been a smaller group of people who are doing that. What do we need you to do? Well, right now, pray. All the way through this journey, we've been saying, pray for God's favour on this. And right now, that's what we need to do. We need to pray that this offer will be received favourably. We need to. We feel like we've done what we can do. We feel like we're pushing to the limits that is acceptable and reasonable, and, you know, with a level of faith before God in. But we need you guys to pray. All of us together, we've got to pray. We've got to continue to declare God's favour on where we're going. And that's what's been happening. So that was what Nehemiah had done. He'd done due diligence. He had asked God for favour. And here he is standing there in this broken city, and he's got to start to pull things together here now. And so he shares a well-thought-out, researched and resourced vision with the Jews in Jerusalem. And he says this, he says, "But now I said to them, you know what kind of trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. Then I told them about the gracious hand of God. Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversations with the king. They replied at once, 'Yes, let us rebuild the wall.' So the work began." Isn't that cool that, you know, he gets there? This city had been in disgrace, if you like. It had been broken at this point for perhaps over 90 years. And for 70 years, they'd been trying to get this wall rebuilt in some way, shape or form. And he says, hey, let's end this disgrace. Let's start working together. And you know what? We can do this thing. We can get this wall rebuilt. We can actually bring security back to our city. We can bring a sense of purpose back to our city. We can bring a sense of pride back to our city, because we're gonna put the walls back up. We're going to bring security. We're going to make it look like it's a place where you can raise your family. We're going to make it a place where you can do business. We're going to make it a place where you can have friends, where you can actually have a lifestyle that makes a difference. And that's the vision that he shared with these people. And they said, yep, we can do it. Let's get going. And says they started straight away. You know, what was the difference between what Nehemiah had done and a whole lot of other people had done is I think he came in with a green light attitude. Everybody else came in and they looked at the rubble and said, oh, you can't do that. Or this bloke over here is going to rise up against us. Or, you know, we haven't got this, or we haven't got the resource, or you know, there's not the money to get this done, or it's not the right season, it's not the right time. And so often we find ourselves living with a red light attitude. We think every light that we come across is on red and we've got to wait for it to go green. But why not assume that we're on green? And if God wants to show us it's red, he will. If you're listening to him, he will actually show you when it's red. And I think we've got to move to a green light attitude and to green light type thinking. Some people live on red. They assume every light is red. Let's assume it's green unless God shows us otherwise. Let's not make red our default position. And I think it's powerful when we say, let us do this thing together. You know, let us rebuild the wall. Let us make a difference here in Hobart. Let us reach people in the university. Let us be part of the future of this city that's in a real critical junction about the formation of where it goes. Let us make sure that we find ourselves putting our resource into something that is going to be there for generations to come. Let us do that together. And I think that's a really important cry that we can actually have as a church. It's not, oh, let the board or let Dave or let certain people. Let us. Let's go on this journey together and we'll be amazed at what God does. Verse 19, but when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab heard of our plan, they scoffed contemptuously. What are you doing, they said. Are you rebelling against the king, they asked. So they start this work and almost immediately they are mocked and their authority is questioned. Their integrity and their capacity was questioned by these three bullies. And basically these guys were strong men in this area and they were profiting by the dysfunction of Jerusalem. Because there wasn't good governance, because, you know, there was bribes and just general rabble going on there. These guys controlled areas of it and they gained a lot through the dysfunction. Did you know what? There will be people in and around your world, there will be a spiritual authorities in and around your world that want to profit by your dysfunction. And so often we find ourselves thinking that we can't be in anything else but dysfunction because that's how it is and we don't know a way out. But you know what? There are things that want to control you and keep you in that place of dysfunction. When I had a small auto electrical business, and as that business started to grow, even well-meaning people, even my friends, even those people that were with me sort of wanted to control me and part of my business for their gains. And it wasn't evil. It was just part of life. But what it meant is it meant that I wasn't able, unless I made some changes, to go to where we could go because they wanted to sort of keep you small and keep you where it worked for them. And there will be things like that in your life. So what would happen? Someone would ring up and say, oh yeah, we've got this problem. And I would send, you know, one of my guys out and they'd ring me up and say, hey Dave, we didn't want him, we wanted you. And I could go, oh wow, gee, they want me, aren't I important? But, you know, that doesn't work very long because you can only be in a few places. And what that effectively does is try to control you. And so often there will be things that appeal to all sorts of parts of our personality. Things will appeal to our ego. Things will appeal to our insecurities. Things will appeal to some area that you're struggling in. And those things want to actually control you and keep you in that place, rather than you actually having authority over that and being able to speak to it and walk through it. So Nehemiah had to do that with these guys, these strong men, these thugs that really opposed him. And listen to how he responds. He responds firmly, clearly and confidently. He says this, he says, the God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. So he's quite clear about what he's going to do. And then he says, but you have no share, legal right, or historic claim over Jerusalem. I've got authority from the God of heaven. I've got civic authority from the king of Babylon. And I have got the residents who live here, who have traditional ownership, if you like, of this area. And we're going to get this thing done. See, whenever we attempt a new project or want to take something to another level, or we decide we're going to break free of something that may control us or limit us, there's nearly always opposition, isn't there? So I want to just give some ideas this morning about how we can make sure that those things that would want to contain us and hold us back and try and keep you into perhaps a managed place or keep you in even a place of dysfunction. How do we actually speak to those things and those situations so that they don't continue to have authority over our world? You know, how do we move a mindset so that you can think, well, you know, I'm just going to try and maintain the status quo in my marriage, and but it's dysfunctional. And you think, oh, well, that's just how it is. Or how can we get a mindset where we feel we can actually move past that? I think we can be confident in the way we speak or confront those things that oppose us when, like Nehemiah, number one, I think he responded to these guys immediately. He didn't walk away and sort of procrastinate. He didn't say, oh, you know what, I'm going to go and talk to my advisors and get back to you. There's nothing wrong with that sometimes. But, you know, he actually responded immediately. And I want to encourage you, particularly when those things that you've been battling with, those spiritual things, those areas perhaps that are mental blocks for you, where they want to control you, we've actually got to choose to respond immediately. See, the longer we procrastinate them, the more hold they get on your life. Who knows if you're battling with a bar of chocolate? I was talking to someone about this earlier. And you know, you've eaten half the block. And you think, well, I should have stopped a third of the block ago or a quarter of the block ago, whatever it was. But you've eaten half and you're sort of at that moment where you think, I could actually deal with this now. And so you've got it sitting on the coffee table and you sort of just push it away just a little bit. Who knows that that block of chocolate's not going to last? If you want it to last, you've actually got to wrap the thing back up and you've got to take it out. For some of us, put it up high in the cupboard. Maybe for someone else, take it in the backyard and throw it down the backyard. Some of you would still go looking for it. But the longer you leave that thing lingering, it continues to have power over you. Somebody speaks a word to you that you don't particularly like, or it makes you feel yuck. You know, you can keep mulling over it, or you can say, yeah, I didn't like that. And a lot of stuff that is said, you know, we can just let it pass. We don't need to confront people about every single little thing. But you know, a lot of times we can actually just say, oh, I choose not to receive that. I am not going to give those words authority over my life. The Bible actually talks to us clearly about taking every thought captive and bringing it under the authority of God. You see, the longer you leave that thing there, the more that it gets power over your life. So I think Nehemiah responded immediately. I think we can respond quickly and not allow spiritual oppression or these mental battles or sometimes, you know, sometimes even just having to go and have a conversation with somebody that actually brings stuff out into the open when we do it well, that means that it doesn't linger and it doesn't continue to have authority over it. Let's respond immediately when it's appropriate. I'm not saying that you don't have to think things through. I'm saying respond, you know, confidently and respond well. Sometimes when it's, you know, little clashes with people, you do need to take a bit of time to think it through carefully. But don't allow it to linger to where it does you damage. Don't allow it to stay in that place. Number two, I think we've got to state whose authority we're under. It's interesting, isn't it, when you know, we've watched so many movies with, you know, people in military roles and things. And, you know, particularly in the American military where they sort of like this sort of thing, you know, when someone turns up and reports to duty and, you know, someone says, oh, Sergeant Morse, reporting for duty. And that they will actually, you know, they will say who they are, their name, their rank, and where they come from. And they're actually declaring right from the start where their authority is, where their authority finishes, and where they're placing themselves. And I think when we come against some of these things, we've actually got to state whose authority that we're actually under. See, Nehemiah claimed both his spiritual and civic authority when he had these guys come against him. He says, earlier on, he has another little, I don't know whether they had a conversation, but he was aware of these guys, of Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. And he says, when I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me, but when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the Amorite official heard of my arrival, they were very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. We've been given authority to oppose many things, but it's easy to feel like we're not enough, isn't it? Let's remember that we have been given all authority from King Jesus for his purposes. You see, Nehemiah said, hey, here I am. I've got a heart to rebuild Jerusalem, but in myself, I'm not the whole answer. I'm not the whole picture. I feel in my heart that God has asked me to do that. So I feel like I've got some authority from heaven to actually get this place rebuilt. And he said, but I've gone about this the right way. I've had the right conversations. I've got the right authority. And here's a letter from the king of Babylon. And actually, to add some weight to this letter, he's actually sent some troops along with me that are going to help us, that are going to protect us, that are going to show people that there's some authority there, and we're going to start doing this job. We're not just going off and just doing this on a whim. And so often, we actually get ourselves into trouble because we race off to do some idea on a whim, and we actually haven't checked first whether we're under the authority that we need to be under. You know, sometimes in the workplace, it can be just going, having a conversation with your boss and saying, hey, I have got this great idea. And if you run off and do it, the boss will go, what's that all about? Or if you've spoken to them first and you've got some authority, they'll go, wow, go for your life. We would love you to do that. And it's the same in our church world. When we sort of feel something on our heart and we actually first of all bring it under the leadership and the authority that's been given in the church, and even before that, we've gone to God and we've said, you know, is this what you're saying, God? And you know, you feel something in your spirit. Yeah, that's right. And then you take the next step and you talk to the right people about it. And then you start to go into it. Well, then you're going into it with a sense of authority. You're going into it with a sense of protection. You're going into it with people around you, and that you've got a lot more chance of winning. How does the enemy want you to take on a new project? Well, he will actually try and intercept a good idea with a wrong method. You know, you might get something that is an idea from God, but he will want to turn it around and very much make it all about you and say, oh yeah, well they're not gonna get on board with this anyway. And you know, you just get out there and do it. You know, you can do that. And so, you know, you step out and you do it, and you wonder why it's struggling, and you're feeling disappointed in it, and you find you're not under the authority that you could have had. Because you haven't gone with the authority of God, you haven't gone with the authority of your leadership, and you haven't actually gone with the support that you could have done. Or he does the other thing. He just says, well, you're not worthy of authority. You might as well curl up into the fetal position and just cry for the rest of your life. Yesterday morning, we went bike riding, as I do most Saturday mornings, and we decided to go on this ride down the channel direction, and we went over a road over Pilverada and Cayuta. And when we got over the top of Cayuta and came down into Pilverada, and Pilverada is this valley, and in winter there's not many spots that actually ever get the sun. And as we got into that valley, the temperature went to about -1 or -2 degrees, and everything was white as far as we could see with thick frost. And even though we actually had good gloves and things on, you know, our hands get colder and colder and colder to the point where, you know, you're trying to change gears on the bike and you can't even feel, you know, the shift levers because your hands are so frozen up. And a couple of times when I've been like that, there is something in me that you just sort of start to feel very sorry for yourself. And the thought has crossed my mind to get off my bike, lie down on the side of the road in the fetal position and cry. But thank God for pride, I keep going. But the enemy actually wants to make you feel like that. The enemy wants to make you feel like it has got so bad that there is no way through. And there is a thing that is containing you, and that thing does not have authority over you. Because you know what? You have the authority of heaven. You have been given the authority of the King, and we've got to decide that we're going to speak to those things, and we're going to state whose authority we're under. So you know what? You're battling with an addiction, and this stuff is really hard. I've got good friends here that are on these journeys, and it's hard. But I think we've got to state whose authority we're under. When those things come up, we can say, you know what, I'm a battler. I know that this thing always gets me. Or we can say, you know what, I am a son of the Most High God, and He has given me authority. And I'm going to speak to this thing, and I am going to speak to it. And if it overcomes me, I'm going to speak to it again next time. And if it overcomes me, I will speak to it again next time. I will not feel the guilt and the shame of failure, but I will know that I'm under the authority of God, and I will continue to speak to this thing because He has given me authority to speak to this thing. Let's remember, we've been given authority from King Jesus for His purposes. Number three, be resolute about where you're going. As a church, we are going to that building in Moona until God shows us otherwise. We are resolute about that. We're not. There's quite a few things that got to still line up, and you know, God can show us. But you know, at the moment, we're resolute about that, because if we're going to get there, we've got to give it everything. And there are things that you're dealing with at the moment. You've got to be resolute about. You know, stuff in your family, it's like, well, let's be resolute about this until God shows us something different. Or you know, there's a season you're in, maybe it's getting through year 11 or 12. It's like, yeah, let's be resolute about this because I'm going to get through it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to focus on that and get through it. Nehemiah remained resolute in the face of opposition. His opposition didn't go away. Notice that? If you read through the book of Nehemiah, these guys were there pretty much till the end. And they continued to snipe and plan and created quite elaborate traps for him at one point. And they did all this stuff. They didn't go away, but they didn't win. Nehemiah got the job done, even though the opposition was there. And many of us are going to be called to do stuff, and we're going to be facing things, and the opposition's going to be there. In fact, I can guarantee every time we want to go to another level, there will be another level of opposition. You know, as we go into this season of building, there'll be opposition. There might be big things that we're facing in the stuff, but you know what? There'll be little relationship things. There'll be stuff that comes in from the side and wants to make us feel discouraged, that wants to distract us, that wants to get our eye off the ball, that all those things want to come in. We have got to be resolute. If you're going to break through with some of these things that we're facing or you're facing, let's be resolute about that and decide we're going to go into them. Opposition will always be part of our world, but it doesn't have authority over you. When Jesus died on the cross, he overcame, and he meant that we are fighting, as I often say, from victory, not for victory. All right, number four. I think we've got to speak the truth to our opposition. I'm not talking about that you know, you're having trouble with an obese person, so you say you're fat. I'm not talking about that sort of just putting it all out there. I'm saying that we've actually got to take the right things on, and we've got to speak the truth that's there. Notice that Nehemiah didn't match their sarcasm. He just spoke the truth, and he stood in the authority that he'd been given. As we speak truth and stand confidently in the authority that we've been given, we can stare down and push past our opposition. What truths do you actually need to speak to stuff in your world at the moment? You know what if the team could join me now, please. I would like us to do something in the lead up to our encounter night. I'd like you to take some time and think a little bit about some areas or some things. For some of you, these will be big looming things and you don't have to think for a moment. It's just there. It's on your mind every day. It doesn't go away. For example, if you're facing a big financial thing at the moment, you're in financial struggles, that doesn't go away. It's there all the time. It's almost like every second you're awake. It's sort of there somewhere. Maybe there's something going on. There's an oppressive relationship, or there's something that's in your world. There's an addiction. Whatever it is, I would like us to start to write some of these things down that we feel are taking authority over our life that they shouldn't have. I'm going to pray for you now, but why not come to Encounter Night? Is it this week or next week, Lizzie? It's next week, so you've got another week. Let's come with these things. There's something very powerful about when you write stuff down. The Bible says write a vision down and make it plain. I can personally testify every time that we as a family or as a church start to think about, you know, good goals and things like that, then when we write them down, it's amazing how God comes through. Remember, it's about 2 years exactly since we put an offering on a new house, and prior to that, we started speaking in the church about breakthrough. We weren't thinking about that for ourselves, but there were some things that were containing in our world. And I remember getting my Evernote app out and writing some of these things down, and some smaller goals, some bigger goals, and some more elaborate things. And they had those little tick boxes next to them for people that like that sort of stuff. Two years later, they're all ticked. Because you know what? God actually honours us when we actually come to Him with something. We come to him with a plan. And we come to him with some room for him to work. You'll be amazed at what he does. Those things that are there, why don't we start to actually write them down? You don't have to put them publicly, but get them somewhere like that. And just give God room to work and say, you know, write them down and say. And we're actually going to, at this encounter night, we're going to declare that those things don't have authority. And we're going to stand in the authority that we have. We're going to continue to believe with a green light mentality. And we're going to expect God to do some amazing things. I just believe right now that there are some people here and you feel like there is stuff that you would just like to step into, but it's like, I just feel like something is robbing that authority's not there. I think I want you some people to just boldly stand up now. I want you to write those things down in coming weeks, but just stand up, because we're going to start to pray, and we're going to declare that these things do not have authority over your life and your world at the moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that when you died for us, when you took on the weight and the rubbish and the deception and the lies and the cheating, the rebellion of this world, you stood in who you were. You stared it down. And you won. And you have authority over it. We thank you right now that we can claim that you have given us authority over addiction. Whether that be substance, whether it be gambling, finance, whether it be mental battles, those things that we just keep going to. We just break the power of that right now, and we speak to it. And for those that are standing that know they need to speak to it now, I just pray that you'd empower them to speak to it and say that, you know, you no longer have authority over me. I stand under the authority of King Jesus, and it's broken right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for people that stand right now and feel like they're not enough. They just feel like they just sort of don't have the authority. Lord, I just pray that right now they would feel themselves standing and being under the authority of God, that you would cover them, that you would protect them, that there would be an umbrella of your grace and your authority that would just rest over them. Now, I thank you that they are enough. I thank you that you died on the cross because they are enough. I thank you that you set them free. And I thank you that they are enough. And as people, there are people standing here this morning, and as you walk out of this place this morning, there are going to be new dreams. There are going to be new ideas. There's going to be a new enthusiasm. There's going to be eyes that are lifted, and people are going to start to step into new things. There's going to be someone here this morning and you've had a business idea, and it's been there. It's been bubbling away, and you think, yeah, it could work. But there's going to be a sense of, you know what? This is the time. I could do this. I could step into this, and I'm going to go with the authority of God. And I'm going to place it under him. And I'm going to see some green lights. Thank you. There's no place. There's no train wreck that you can't put back together. In Jesus' name. Amen.